About 15 years ago, when I first started coming back to the Mass, I would often be distracted during Mass. For me at that time, the most interesting or most engaging part of the Mass was the homily. The other parts where a layperson was reading from a book or the priest was reading from a book, I found that difficult to follow along and pay attention to. I remember one Mass in particular, when the homily was finished, I thought to myself, so, what am I going to think of or occupy myself with until Holy Communion? And then almost immediately I thought, well, that's not a good attitude. But I couldn't exactly figure out why. But I know now that the most important part of Mass isn't the homily, but rather something that comes after that. And that the homily and even the readings are given to us as preparation for the most important part of Mass. And since it's the readings that help prepare us, let us take a brief look at the readings, particularly the Gospel. The Gospel passage for the past few Sundays, have been from the Gospel according to St. John, particularly chapter 6. And that's a chapter in which Jesus speaks about being the bread of life and how we must eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to have divine life within us. Now, for the listeners of that time, that was probably a very hard saying and a very confusing saying to hear. They probably didn't know what he meant by that, and so it was difficult for them. But for us, we have a pretty good idea of what he's talking about, right? I mean, he's talking about the Eucharist. He's talking about the Eucharist. You know, sometimes people can get those things confused. But sometimes we can forget that reality, that the Eucharist is what makes Mass, Mass. We Catholics believe that at Mass, ordinary bread and wine, which we bring forward and place upon the altar, becomes Jesus Christ himself, becomes his flesh, or his body, and his blood, so that we can receive it, like he tells us we need to, from John 6. But when does this happen? When does this ordinary bread and wine become Jesus Christ? It happens during the Eucharistic prayer, when Jesus repeats the words that he said at the Last Supper through the lips of his priests. Then he becomes truly present in the Eucharist. So it's the Eucharist and the Eucharistic prayer that are the most important parts of Mass, because it's through that that Christ becomes present to us. It's through that that we can recall his sacrifice on the cross. But many years ago, I didn't know that. And I didn't really put a whole lot of effort into trying to understand that or trying to pay attention during that part of the Mass. So to help you pay closer attention and to have a greater understanding of what's happening during Mass, during the Eucharistic prayer, I'd like to share with you just a few components of the Eucharistic prayer. But since there's more than one, I'll keep it kind of generic so that it would apply to the different Eucharistic prayers. The first component would be the preface. It starts with the very familiar, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. And the preface is particular to that celebration that we come to, particular to that Mass. And it's intended to help us to be more attentive, more aware of what it is that we're thanking God for, the good things that he's done, and to help prepare us to be ready for that supreme moment, the consecration, which we're leading up to. Then we have the Holy, Holy, Holy. And having recalled the great works that God has done in the preface, we then praise him with these words that the angels themselves were singing, as recorded in the book of Isaiah and the book of Revelations. But we add to it the words of the people when Jesus is triumphantly entering into Jerusalem, when we say, Hosanna in the highest. And this little hymn of praise, the Holy, 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 is something that should come naturally from us, from our desire to praise God for all the great gifts and blessings that he has given us throughout our lives and continues to give us even today. And after we sing the Holy, 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 we all kneel for the first time at Mass, And this is so that we can have greater reverence, honor, and submission for our Lord and our God who is coming to us. The third component is the epiclesis. That's a Greek word. It means invocation or calling upon. And so God the Father is called upon by the priest to bring about or send the Holy Spirit to transform that bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And so the priest holds out his hands over these elements so that the Holy Spirit would come down through his consecrated hands and prepare it to become Jesus himself. Later, the priest also invokes God to unite all of the people that partake of the Eucharist together in the one community of believers. Fourth is the institution, narrative, and the consecration. So this is where the priest starts to describe what happened at the Last Supper. And then, through his lips, Jesus says again those same words he said back then. This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. And at the moment that those words are spoken, the bread and wine are consecrated by those words and become Jesus Christ. But notice that there's two consecrations. There's one for the body and one for the blood. They're separate. And that's intentional because it's pointing to and making present for us, yet again, the separation of Christ's body and blood when he died on the cross. And so we're mysteriously re-entering into, we're mysteriously coming back to that one event 2,000 years ago and participating in some sacramental way into that. The fifth is the anamnesis, which is another Greek word, and this one means remembering or recalling. And so we're recalling that sacrifice of Christ, but not just remembering it, actually joining into it, entering into it, that mystery. We're also recalling that Christ's death on the cross was his supreme act of love, that he gave everything for us, including his life, so that we can be reconciled with God the Father, so that we can be with him forever in heaven. And so we should unite all of our prayers, all of our offerings, all of our intentions with that supreme offering of Christ himself. The sixth is the mystery of faith. Now, oftentimes when we hear that, we think, oh, the priest is just prompting us to say the next part. But actually, the priest is proclaiming and declaring that what has just taken place, the institution narrative, the consecration, Christ truly becoming present in the Eucharist, and us giving praise to him for that, all of that is what the priest is saying is the mystery of faith. That's the supreme mystery, that somehow at Mass we are, at that moment, participating in that sacrifice. The seventh is the intercessions. So we're all familiar with the prayers of the faithful that take place immediately after the Creed. But the Eucharistic prayer itself also has intercessions or intentions for the Church, for the Pope, for the Archbishop, and for other people. And the priest prays these on behalf of all of us. And so the entire Church should be uniting their hearts and minds with these intentions as the priest is praying. The eighth is the doxology, or words of praise. And so the priest is concluding this prayer, the Eucharistic prayer, by singing praise through him, with him, and in him. And this hymn is Jesus Christ. He is the one who's now truly present in the Eucharist, and so the priest is raising him high, offering God the Son to God the Father. And so the people join the priest in praising God for this great gift of the Eucharist when we sing the great Amen. The Amen is our assent to, agreement to, our expression of our belief to everything that the priest has just said and done from the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer to that present moment. And so when we sing Amen, it's like saying, yes, I do believe that we are participating in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is mysteriously but truly present in the Most Holy Eucharist. And yes, I do praise God for the great gift of himself in that Eucharist. And so I hope now that you have a greater understanding of the Eucharistic prayer, that you may better participate in it, enter into it. I know that that was a lot of information, but to help you remember these different components, I also have them written down in my bulletin article. And I'm recording my homilies, so you can find it online as well. So you might want to try, perhaps even at this Mass, to figure out which are those parts that I had just mentioned. What part are we in the Eucharistic prayer as it's being prayed? So you can better enter into that mystery. So let us take a moment now to briefly call upon these thoughts, reflect upon them, and better prepare ourselves for the Eucharistic prayer in the coming of our Lord Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist.